In the name of Jesus, amen. Saint Matthew has spent four chapters now telling us just who Jesus is. He is true man, born of the Virgin Mary, the wonderful message of Christmas. And he's also true God. The Father told us so at his baptism. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. True man, the message of Christmas, and true God, the message of the Epiphany. In a few weeks, we are coming to the season of Lent. And Lent is going to tell us what the Son of the Father, born of Mary, has come to do. He has come to die. But before we get to Lent and the death of Jesus, Matthew tells us how Jesus lived and what Jesus taught. And one of the things Jesus taught was how to receive the blessings of the Father. How to receive the blessings of the Father. And blessings the Father has to give. Wonderful things, like the kingdom of God, for starters. And if that's not enough, comfort and mercy and the earth and being filled and on and on. But as you well know, there is also no such thing as a free lunch. So what do you need to do to get the blessings of the Father? It's quite simple, really. Just listen to what Jesus taught. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus says, be humble. When we're poor in spirit, we realize that we are totally dependent upon God. To be poor in spirit is to know that our own successes, the achievements we're so proud of, our great qualities, the things we're so proud of having achieved in this life, they mean very little in the eyes of God. When we're poor in spirit, we realize that even our best efforts fall miserably short of what God wants of us. When we're poor in spirit, our greatest hope and joy isn't to hear the words, "You've won the lottery," but to know that you belong to the Father. You want the kingdom of heaven? Be humble in all things. Blessed are those who mourn, Jesus says, for they will be comforted. Mourn is a strong word. It's what you do when someone very close to you dies. To mourn is to care deeply, to know godly sorrow for sin, to be deeply concerned about the evil in this world, and to know that suffering has come about because of sin and injustice and perversion in society and in me, and you for that matter. Want to feel the comfort of God? Mourn and care deeply about the brokenness of this world. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Be gentle. Of course, that's not the way to get ahead. The opposite, in fact, is the case. If you're gentle, the earth will be snatched from your hand. But Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who have a disciplined, controlled spirit all of the time. Blessed are those who don't blow up at their kids, or if you're a kid, at your parents or teachers. Meekness knows how to endure mistreatment, late hits, bad calls, and in-laws without retaliating. Meekness knows that vengeance is God's. If you want to inherit the earth, be gentle. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. When you're hungry, you go after food. You'll do anything to get it. If you're hungry, beg on the street corner if you're hungry. The world in which we've grown up in says hunger and thirst for sure, but not for righteousness. Hunger and thirst for money or whatever it takes to get it. Hunger and thirst for all that is marketed to you. Hunger and thirst for that certain look that will get you whatever you want. Hunger and thirst for whatever it is that's marketed out there. Do all this, and you won't be hungry anymore. You'll be satisfied. But Jesus says, if you want to be filled, then strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Make the word part of your daily routine. Don't casually pass up times and places and opportunities where God has promised to meet you. Satan is empty, and he wants to fill you with his emptiness. He's a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, seeking you. God is full to overflowing, and he wants to fill you with all that is good. Want the blessings of God? Hunger and thirst for him. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Identify with the suffering of others, even the suffering of those who sin against you. Be merciful, and you'll receive mercy in return. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You have to dig back into your computer past for this one, but years ago, remember those old word processing programs? You didn't know what your document was going to look like until you printed it out on the piece of paper. Now, what you see on the screen is what you get on the paper. What you see is what you get. Blessed are the pure in heart people, for they will see God. What you see in them is what you get. No fakiness in them. They mean what they say and say what they mean. Gently. Their yes is yes, and their no is no, with compassion. What they promise, they do. Want to see God? Then be a person of integrity, without ulterior motives and concealed self-interests. Be pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Be a founder of peace in the world in which God has put you in. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they also treated the prophets who went before you. So now I ask you, how are you doing? Do these Beatitudes describe you? Ask your spouse if these Beatitudes describe you. Are they a reflection of who you are? There's an inborn tendency in us to neuter these Beatitudes, to change them into the be happy attitudes, or to make them into something that we can achieve if only we get the formula right and try hard enough. It's an inborn tendency, because if there's a stitch of honesty in any of us, we know that we're not measuring up. We're not doing what they say. And if keeping them describes how to be blessed by God, then what word describes what happens when we don't keep them? What's the opposite of blessing? Curses. The sting of Jesus' words here would be felt very keenly if, along with reading, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," we would also read, "And damned are those who are not." That gets my attention really quick, because I'm not. A case can be made for the Sermon on the Mount being the giver of the law being the giver of the law's own interpretation of his own Ten Commandments. Jesus gives a beautiful commentary on the first commandment to have no other gods when he comments on total loyalty to God, regardless of persecution or difficulty. And later, Jesus talks about other commandments, killing, adultery, swearing, stealing, and slandering, all commandments. What Jesus does in the Sermon on the Mount is he takes the Ten Commandments and makes them so big that they can't but knock you to your knees when you read them. The Beatitudes do something else as well. They remind us that the Ten Commandments were part of a covenant God had made with Israel. And in the Old Testament, this covenant ended with blessings if you kept them, and curses if you didn't. And what happened? Old Israel didn't keep the covenant. And the curse happened. They lost the land. And herein lies the problem for us. You and I, we haven't kept the covenant either. And the Beatitudes point it out. I'll just speak for myself with a bit of solemn courage. But maybe, just maybe, you might be able to relate to me. I'm stuck in sinful pride and arrogance more often than not. I find it hard sometimes to squeeze out a tear for those who have been humbled, especially if I wanted them humbled. Meekness doesn't describe me. Unless I'm caught with my hand in the cookie jar, then I'm meek. I hunger and thirst for the same things the world does. Of course, piously paying lip service to thirsting for righteousness all along the way. To hear me yell at a sporting event is not to hear a merciful man. And what's in it for me, and how can I work this deal to my advantage, is more the real me than being a man without guile, like Jesus called Nathanael. There are times I've thought the best peacemaker around was the kind they used in the OK Corral. And I can justify the idea that it's far better to run and hide and fight another day than to take a stand on something God says and to suffer persecution or ridicule because of it. I started off by saying that Jesus was going to tell us how to get blessed by God, and he has. He simply says, do all of this perfectly, keep the law, and you shall live. But that's not very good news, is it? Because I haven't done this. And even if I could, I'd still have my original sin to deal with, and I can't. I don't have the foggiest idea what I might do about that. And neither do you. So what chance do I have? What chance do you have of being blessed by God? None. None, according to the Beatitudes, that's for sure. See, there is only one who has kept these Beatitudes perfectly, and that's Jesus. So he's the only one who deserves any of the blessings. But what's he get? He takes the curses we deserve because of our sin. In Jesus' baptism, he picks up all of that which we don't do, all of that which we aren't. And he pays for it all with his cursed death, a death we deserve. He pays for that on the cross. And in your baptism, he makes a grand exchange with you. Your curse-bearing sin for his blessing-bearing righteousness. He credits his righteousness as yours, and your sin as his. Jesus is the only one who is truly poor in spirit, for though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Jesus is the one who truly mourned sin and was willing to become obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross for the sins of the world. Jesus is the one who is truly meek, who, although he contains the powers of heaven and earth, allows himself to be slapped and spit on and crucified, killed and buried. Jesus is the one who truly hungers and thirsts for righteousness. My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus is the one who is truly merciful and pure in heart and persecuted for righteousness' sake and is the founder of peace. Peace between us and the Father. The Father gives Jesus the curse and us the blessings for Christ's sake. Because of that great exchange, these Beatitudes already describe you. Because by the grace of God, you are in Christ. You are found to be in the one who is all of this. And knowing that Christ has done this for you gives you the courage to try to be merciful and pure in heart and a peacemaker, like our older brother before us was and is, our Lord Jesus Christ, like a child of the Father, knowing all along that as we fail, he doesn't see us as we are. He doesn't reject us. For indeed, Christ's death truly does have each one of us covered. And when the Father sees us, he sees us through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he says of you, not cursed, no, but blessed are you. Yes. You, even now, in God the Father's eyes, blessed are you in Christ. Amen.